Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Good evening. You're listening to the Truth Tank podcast trailer. Today, the truth has become harder to discern. Fake news, censoring of facts, media censorship, ideology over logic. The truth has become subjective. That old saying, there are two kinds of truth, rings true today. What is fact and what is fiction? You can take the blue pill and go about your day, or you can take the red pill and take a deep dive into the world of conspiracies, history's mysteries, the hidden and the forbidden past, current and global events, UFOs, aliens and the UAV phenomenon, the world of the paranormal and high strangeness, as well as the ongoing war on pop culture and society, with the occasional movie review thrown in for good measure. If this has piqued your curiosity and you want to find out how all this ties together, join me, The Tank, every month for a deep and detailed dive into the hidden and murky world of the truth. You can find and follow The Truth Tank on Facebook and Instagram. You can listen and download the episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts from. May the truth be with you. Tinfoil hat not included.
Are you tired of this reality? Us too. How about once a week you take a break and visit a different reality? In Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex, we bring you a comedy podcast full of ghosts, werewolves, gentle vampires, and Frankenstein monstrosities made of 72 people stitched together. And somehow, that's not even the strange stuff. A proud member of the Podmoth Network. Every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. There's nothing wrong with your audio. I've been a ghost this whole time. Shyamalan twist.
Love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more? Check out my podcast. Hi, I'm Kadra, the host of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. I tell tales every single week that have left me perplexed. You'll hear true crime cases, mysterious disappearances, learn about cults, hear baffling sightings of cryptids, chilling paranormal encounters, and even dark and weird history. I release new episodes every Wednesday, and you can listen anywhere podcasts are available. I'm also on Patreon, and you can even watch me on YouTube. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. Stories that will leave you perplexed.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again for another Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy episode. What story do you have for us today, Mom?
Well, because this episode is coming out on Christmas Day, shout out to everyone who listened on Christmas Day. But if you didn't, that's okay. We just are thankful that you're listening. I am doing a Christmas miracle story.
I didn't pick any. You told me it was coming out on Christmas, and I couldn't find anything that was like really great for a Christmas story. So I'm glad you picked.
Plus, you have the brutal story. It's hard to do a brutal Christmas story and have it be Christmassy, unless it's. I mean,
true.
You can. It's just kind of, you know. I wanted this to be a good, fun, uplifting episode. So
you're talking about Krampus?
No. Oh, okay. Mine is a Christmas miracle story, and it is, I'm gonna try to not cry.
Okay. Hopefully so, I don't either.
I think you'll be fine. You know how I get sometimes, and this could be one of those times. So if I Do cry, everyone. Accept my apology in advance. But it's a really mm-hmm. cool story. So what are you going to be telling us about?
I am going to be talking about Nancy Spungen and Sid Vicious from Sex Pistols.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
In researching this episode, I listened to a couple Sex Pistols songs, and they're not fucking good. Honestly. I like the genre of like punk music and like kind of rock-ish music, but goddamn, they normally like when British or like other ethnicities, but like other continents
cultures.
Sing, it like cultures, yeah. When other cultures sing, it's like you can kind of pick up an American accent, but this was like I could not get through two or three of their songs. Like,
oh, too far, huh?
Sorry if people like Sex Pistols, but not my cup of tea.
It's okay. It's just not for you. They're British, and that's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. You don't have to.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into this. Let me get my cocktail pulled up.
Yes.
And it's kind of right on the nose with my cocktail. So I've got Pepino's Pistol
as my okay.
cocktail.
Okay. That makes sense.
So
now.
This cocktail consists of 1.5 ounces of Patron Silver or any other clear tequila. Some Grey Goose Lopiori, which after some research is just pear vodka. So I just used a different pear vodka. 1 ounce apple juice, 1/2 ounce lemon juice, 1/2 ounce simple syrup, and optionally garnish with a cucumber slice, which I did not do, like always. Let's give this a try.
Okay. I did not have a cucumber to garnish, and I wasn't going to go buy a cucumber just for garnish.
Cucumber just for one slice? Yeah.
I know. It's dumb. And I'm going to give a shout out to a fantastic friend and neighbor, Gina, who supplied me with the Patron because I didn't want to go buy an entire bottle for this cocktail and I would not drink it otherwise. So,
yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be grody.
In making this cocktail, I smelled the Patron and I do not know why anyone drinks it because it smells like garbage.
It smells like Patron tastes like crayons to me. Like,
it's no.
okay. I was hoping it'd be like an Asian pear, like a mix between apple and pear, but
there's something sour tasting in it, not the lemon.
There is lemon juice. Oh,
I know. Right. It doesn't taste sour like a sour lemon, it tastes like something turned.
Oh, is your apple juice good?
Yeah, my apple juice is good.
Okay.
I mean, second sip, it's
okay. I'd finish it, but I wouldn't order another.
Well, if you were here, I'd let you finish mine because I'm not finishing that. Oh, that is nasty.
I wonder if the cucumber slice would like brighten it up.
I don't know. I mean,
probably not. Because it's just a slice of cucumber.
Yeah. I mean, if you muddled it in there, maybe, but I would not.
Yeah.
Oh. Nope.
I wouldn't order it again. Did we ever figure out our rating scale?
No, but we need to.
Order it and
maybe we'll roll that out. We'll talk about that over the holiday and maybe we'll come up with something and we'll roll that out for the beginning of next year. Something to look forward to, everyone.
Yes. If you have any suggestions for our rating system,
yes,
DM us on Instagram or something. Or
yeah, for sure. Email us. Yeah. You can find all the links to find us in our show notes.
Okay, let's get into Nancy Spungen and Sid Vicious. So Nancy was born on February 27th, 1958 to Frank and Deborah Spungen. Spungen? Spungen? I'm going to go with Spungen.
I don't know.
When she was born, there were some complications. Her umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck, causing oxygen deprivation, but that wasn't the only scare she had during birth. When she came out, she was severely jaundiced and had some severe cyanosis, which is caused by a decrease in oxygen levels attached to the hemoglobin. So she had low oxygen blood levels.
Well, that makes sense if the cord was wrapped around her neck. You know, if it compressed the cord, she's not getting proper blood flow.
This resulted in her receiving immediate blood transfusion and was unable to be held by her mother until 8 days after she was born, which can have a psychological effect on newborns. Like,
for sure. Yeah, that's sad.
There's some kind of weird thing that happens when newborns aren't being like able to be held by their mothers. Like, we talked about it with the Unabomber case, but
right, he was not a newborn, yeah. But still,
he deprived
people of the contact with their mothers.
Yeah. After birth, Nancy was a very difficult baby, often crying and throwing fits, which sounds normal, but
right.
While it's normal for babies to cry, Nancy spent most of her early childhood screaming.
Oh.
So it wasn't just like, wah, wah. It was
right.
Like some constant. More serious. Yeah. At only three months old, she was prescribed a liquid barbiturate, which provided ineffective. Yeah, that's 3 months old for a barbiturate is fucking.
Oh, I don't think they do that kind of stuff now.
I guess it was the 50s, but like still.
I mean, they were teething with whiskey back then, but
yeah.
Jesus.
As a child, Nancy often threatened or attacked her sister and even threatened a babysitter with a pair of scissors. At around age 11, Nancy was sent to a therapeutic boarding school to try and help her behavior, but when she was around 14 or 15, she escaped the boarding school and attempted suicide by slitting her wrists with scissors. Scissors come up a lot in this story.
Okay.
Shortly after that, she was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
She
graduated from high school. Yeah, as a kid, which is very rare.
Yeah, normally, usually that's an adult diagnosis.
Yeah, normally it comes like when you're around your 20s, I want to say.
I think so, off the top of my head,
but she graduated from high school in 1974 and was accepted into the University of Colorado at the age of 16, which I don't know if that's normal, but
no.
Yeah.
That's young.
During college, she was arrested twice. Once for purchasing weed from an undercover cop. Which, I don't know how you get yourself into that situation. Like, why are undercover cops selling weed? That seems like entrapment to me.
Well, back in the day, I mean, it wasn't
back in
legal,
the day, it was more serious, but
yeah,
still,
it's dumb.
The second time she was arrested, it was for harboring stolen property in her dorm room. Her father traveled the border and took a plea deal on her behalf, banishing her from Colorado.
Oh, okay.
She moved back in with her parents and ran away from home at 17 and moved to New York City, where she supported herself via prostitution. She would often attend concerts and would follow the bands, which is also known as like a groupie, I guess. Groupie can mean a couple different things, I feel, but like she would just hop on the tour bus and travel around with them for fun.
Yeah, sounds like a groupie.
Some of the bands she would go with were Aerosmith, Bad Company, and the Ramones.
Cool.
In 1976, Nancy took a flight with the band to the In 1976, Nancy took a flight with the band Heartbreakers to London. While in London, she met the band The Sex Pistols, which is an English band. Like, okay. I did some research on them, but
yeah,
again, they suck.
Not a fan.
Not a good band. No. Sid Vicious, born Simon Ritchie, was the second bassist for the band. After being rejected by the lead singer Johnny Rotten, aka Johnny Lydon, Sid and Nancy started dating. Sid was an addict and introduced Nancy to heroin, which she became addicted to fairly quickly. And especially as a schizophrenic, I'm sure it does not help.
I don't think, yeah, if you have, I don't know.
Because I think people with mental health issues in that sort get addicted to things a lot more easily.
I don't know.
Especially like hard drugs. Because I know it definitely causes it, like if you're using hard drugs, but I think if you already have it, and yeah. So the band broke up in 1978, and Sid and Nancy moved into the Hotel Chelsea in New York City. On October 11th, Sid and Nancy had some people over, and they reported seeing Sid take around 30 pills of Tuenol, which is enough to kill most people.
Of what? 30 pills of
Tuenol. It's a barbiturate.
Oh.
It's an antipsychotic and sleeping pill. Like, a lot of those things like had multiple uses, I guess. But yeah,
okay.
he took damn near a whole bottle of Tuenol, which has now been discontinued. I don't know what they call it when they stop using pills,
okay.
But
yeah.
This caused him to be very incoherent and dissociative for several hours with people like him coming in and out of consciousness. So he would just be sitting on the couch and like would be passed out and then come back in and
wake
then
up.
Go out. Yeah. Ooh. At around 2:30 a.m., Sid asked his drug dealer and part-time bodyguard, Rocket Red Glare, to get him some Dilaudids, which is an opiate 5 to 10 times stronger than morphine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No, not good.
Especially after taking 30 fucking barbiturates. Yeah. At around 7:30, some female groans and screams could be heard by neighboring guests in the hotel. And around 10:30 a.m., Sid called the front desk asking for help. When hotel staff arrived, they discovered Nancy dead on the bathroom floor with a stab wound to the stomach.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeeks.
Hotel staff called police and Sid was found wandering the hallways, mumbling to himself and in an agitated state. When arrested, Sid initially admitted to the crime, but later recanted his confession, saying that he was asleep when she died. The Sex Pistols' former manager, Malcolm McLaren, which is a fucking cool name, stated he believes Sid was innocent because she was his first and only love, and he would not kill her.
Oh.
It was discovered that a substantial amount of money was stolen from their room, so many believe that Red Glare, the bodyguard and drug dealer, returned with the Dilaudid, and while Sid was passed out on barbiturates, stabbed Nancy when she put up a fight. We may never know the answer because Sid Vicious died from a heroin overdose before his trial could take place, causing the case to be closed by the New York City Police Department.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yowza.
Very unfortunate that happened, but
yeah,
such a weird case.
I did not know those details. I mean, you know, it's a famous couple. That I've heard about for, you know, ever, and knew that there was drugs involved and things, but I never really looked into it, so I didn't know the details of it.
I'd never even heard of the two. Like
Sid and Nancy? Yeah, I think there's been some movies about them, too. Not necessarily documentaries, but dramatic movies about their relationship and things like that. And because I'm not I don't really like punk music, so I never listened to that band. never got into looking into their story.
Would three days grace be considered punk?
No.
I feel like they're punk-ish. No?
No. I don't consider them punk.
Rock?
I would say, yeah, they're rock. I would say, like, Jane's Addiction is more on the punk side. I think Red Hot Chili Peppers had some punk stuff that they did for a while, and then they feel like they kind of got a little more rock.
Red Hot Chili Peppers is like stoner music, I feel. Like, I mean, I guess that could be considered punk, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I listened to a couple of the songs and they fucking sucked, so...
I won't bother listening to them. If you don't like them, there is very slim chance that I would like them. Because we like a lot of the same music. And, I mean, you like a lot of music that I don't like. But if you hate it, there's
all genres though.
You do. I don't. Yeah. And I actually threatened your dad with divorce today because he was listening to something and I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna be looking for a divorce attorney for the
fucking Irish shit music or whatever he's playing.
No, I don't. It was just something that came on because he uses the Spotify DJ thing, which I've never done. And so he gets these weird recommendations based on things that he's liked in the past. And I was like, this is absolute garbage. You got to turn that off. And then another song came on that was, again, absolute garbage. And I was like, just I think I'm bad. In my right to get divorced. And then I was like, no, murder is probably easier than divorce.
Yeah, you know how to hide the body. We've done enough podcasts about that.
Right. Rule number one, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Well, you just told the whole fucking internet.
That's true. That's true. So I guess your dad's safe. All right. Are you ready for my Christmas miracle?
I am ready.
Okay. So, like I said, because it's Christmas time, I wanted a Christmas miracle story, and this one definitely fits that bill. In general, most Americans believe in miracles, with nearly 80% of people reporting that they believe in them. Do you believe in miracles, Declan?
Yes and no. I mean, okay. I'd believe in it more if I had one happen to me, but
yeah,
true. I feel like they're possible.
Yeah. Well, maybe after this story, you will believe in miracles because I don't think there's any other way to explain this story.
Okay.
So whether you celebrate Christmas or not, this story is definitely amazing and unexplainable and definitely worthy of being considered bizarre for our bizarre feature of the show. It happened in 2009 on Christmas Eve, again, making it a Christmas miracle because it happened on Christmas Eve. December 24th, 2009, married couple Tracy and Mike Hermannstorfer went to their local hospital in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tracy was expecting their third child and in labor with a boy they intended to name Colton. The family expected a normal labor and delivery for Colton, just like Tracy had with their previous children. Labor in hospitals is a heavily monitored process with all sorts of devices being used to measure heart rates, blood pressure, contractions. If you're in a hospital, you're going to be hooked up to some stuff and they're going to know what's happening to you.
When was this again?
2009. Sorry, I missed that
part. Okay, yeah. So they've got some good equipment there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's stuff on the belly. There's stuff. She had monitors on her. So, you know, it's not like she was at home and something happened. Hospital staff were in the process of changing some of Tracy's monitors when she mentioned that she felt tired and laid back onto the mattress of her hospital bed. She closed her eyes, stopped breathing, and without warning, her heart suddenly stopped.
It's not good.
No, not good at all.
No, you don't want your wife to die while she's giving birth.
Right.
Typically Tracy doesn't work out well.
No, it doesn't. Tracy was gray with no signs of life. Attempts to resuscitate her were made, but unsuccessful, and doctors knew they had to work fast. Medical staff jumped into action, knowing that baby Colton's life was hanging in the balance. They quickly performed an emergency C-section, but things were not looking good. Colton also had no heartbeat. So, mom and baby.
Two hearts, no heartbeat. That sounds like a punk song.
Right. They placed the lifeless baby into his father's arms, who must have been beyond distraught, thinking that he had just lost his wife and baby boy, brand new baby boy. But all was not lost, because in a few moments, the medical team was able to revive baby Colton while he was still in his dad's arms. So Colton took his
paddles or what?
No, it didn't really say. I'm assuming that they did, you know, some level of CPR on him. And babies, you know, it doesn't take as much force as an adult human. You know, they're working on resuscitating him, and it worked. Colton took his first breath in his dad's arms. Even more surprisingly, just a few minutes later, Tracy's heart also started beating again. Remember, she had no heartbeat.
He's a zombie. This is the first zombie case. Patient
mother
zero.
Mother and baby stayed in the hospital for a few days and eventually went home. There was no explanation for why Tracy's heart stopped and why it suddenly started beating again, because they were not attempting to resuscitate her any further at that point. They had attempted it. Nothing happened. They got the baby out. They had, you know, for not to be crude, they had kind of written her off. They were like, she's passed. She's gone. We got to work on the baby. Let's save the baby. They save the baby. And then all of a sudden her heart starts beating again.
Which is just pushed too hard.
Yeah, I don't know. Medical experts were consulted over the following year, and no one was able to explain why or exactly what happened to this family, to either mom or baby. Tracy once explained that Colton would try to use his miracle baby status to get out of chores. So she'd be like, go clean up your room. And he's like, oh, but I'm the miracle baby. I don't have to clean my room. But it didn't work.
I could have killed us both, bitch. Let me.
She's the miracle mom, so she gets to use that card, and miracle mom card trumps miracle baby card, apparently. So
fair enough.
Yeah, Dad Mike wants everyone to know that miracles do happen. He's seen it up close and in person, and his message is to never give up. So. That is my miracle story for Christmas.
That is one hell of a miracle.
Right.
The fact that she came back to life without resuscitation is...
Right.
I'd be calling you zombie if that happened.
Yeah. You'd be like, zombie mom. I've got a cool zombie mom. Well, I mean, they had her with a bunch of different experts after the fact, and, you know, cardiologists and everything, and ran tests on her, and they were like, we don't know what happened.
Yeah, hospitals don't know shit. They don't fucking know.
Well, that's
unless
true.
You come in with a heart attack or something that's easily explainable, they don't fucking know shit.
I would agree
that's
with
been
that.
My experience, at least. They just fucking,
that's
I don't
true
know.
I mean,
you're fine now.
How long were you in
that's
the hospital? You were, I think you were in there for 4 days. 3 or 4 days.
Three or 4 days.
Yeah. And they finally were like, we don't know. Just take him home.
Yeah,
like, cool. That. You guys are awesome.
That's why I don't trust medical professionals anymore.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. It's just,
I know. Goddamn. I feel like I tainted so you in a way that you're like, my mom knows more than these idiots.
Well, I mean, it's probably for the best. I'm kind of a hypochondriac, so.
Yeah, but I will say when you were in the hospital, I called it 100% from day one. I said, this is what it is. And nobody believed me. And then after they released you and sent you home, they were like, oh, this is what it was. And I was like, of course it was, you dumbass. Should have freaking listened to me.
Stupid.
Anyway.
People go to college for 8+ years and think they know everything, which.
I mean, I'm not bagging on, you know, medical professionals.
I am.
I know, but some of them are very good and some of them not so much. That's all I'll say. But that's true for everything. Thanks. Some mechanics are really good and some of them are not so much.
Most of them aren't great, but,
you know,
mechanic-wise, not doctor-wise, but most mechanics, from my opinion.
I don't know. I've had
Unless
some pretty bad
ones. Home mechanic? Yeah.
Okay.
Most of them are not great.
Remember, which car was it? I think it was the Cooper that we took in and they fixed the problem. And literally 4 blocks later, the exact same thing happened and the car stopped.
Okay, to be fair,
and they had
the Cooper fucking sucks.
But they had that car for a month.
Yeah, because that was after I moved out. Yeah.
You can't figure out what's wrong with it.
That car had some major issues.
It did have some major issues. But
to be fair, I probably caused them. I got that car to 115 on a downhill.
Oh,
that's the only way I could get it over 100 is on a downhill.
Oh, my God. I don't think you need to get any of your cars over 100, dude.
The truck wouldn't let me. The truck governed me at 100.
Jesus Christ, please. Don't drive that
fast. To be fair, I'd have to drive home like an hour and a half plus on an interstate every night. And so I was like, it's at 2 a.m, might as well see what happens. No one's on the road.
Oh my God. You get that from your dad. You know that, right?
Yeah. I mean, who else am I going to get it from?
Not me. I mean, I like to drive fast, but not that fast. That's insane.
I haven't tested the Volkswagen. I'm too scared.
Yeah.
I don't think that thing fucking.
No.
I don't think it'll handle it.
Don't drive it that fast.
Well, to be fair, I drive a mile and a half to work every day. So
thank God. Thank God. Well, do you have a chaser for us?
I do.
Okay.
So my chaser is on Paramount Plus. And it came out a while ago, but me and my roommate watched it recently just because of the events that are happening.
Okay.
But it is the roast of Donald Trump on it's crazy to think that our past president and future president had a comedy roast on him, and it's hosted by Seth MacFarlane, who's the guy who makes Family Guy and American Dad and stuff like that. But it's got one of my favorite comics on it, Anthony Jeselnik. Ugh. And why don't you like him? He's so fucking funny.
He
had a special come out recently, and he had a joke about a pregnant lady getting hit by a bus, and he says, I call that a gender reveal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyways,
that's terrible.
They also had a comic on there who was deaf, which was very interesting. Halfway through her, like, cause she had a translator. And so she would sign to the translator and the translator would say the jokes, but halfway through her set, the translator quote unquote quit, and what's that motherfucker's name? He just died recently. he's got a super like recognizable voice. Oh, hang on, let me look it up. But halfway through this comedian set, another comedian I cannot remember his name.
Live time Google searches. Ooh, exciting.
What's the first name? Huh? He's like a small comedian, and he's got like a super piercing voice. He's played a voice actor in a lot of stuff.
Okay, I'm going to help you Google search it.
I think he played the Gilbert Gottfried. Oh my gosh. So halfway through her set, Gilbert Gottfried stepped up and just started saying his own stuff. He doesn't know how to fucking read sign language. So halfway through her set, he just came up and was like, started saying his own shit. And
oh, really?
It's got like... So, in the roast of Donald Trump, they had one of the fucking guys from the reality TV show Jersey Shore.
Okay.
And it was probably the worst set I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, everyone was just making fun of him the whole time. It was really tough to watch, but it made it, like, actually pretty funny. But it had Snoop Dogg, it had Anthony Jeselnik, Gilbert Gottfried, Seth MacFarlane. Like, they had some really good people on there and some good jokes for our future president, which I guess is getting elected in, or coming into office on the 6th, right?
Sometime in January, I can't remember.
Is that when they do that shit?
I don't know.
All right, what's your... your chaser?
My chaser is a Christmas chaser to finish off our Christmas Day episode, and it was from an article that I found on Good News Network. There is a pub in Britain that has been termed the most festive pub because of their Christmas decorations. And they have a 26-foot-tall snowman.
And, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And they have a tent. Wait. I wish I had highlighted. So they have a tree that's also tall, not as tall as the snowman. But the tree and the snowman are made out of empty wine bottles.
That's cool.
So the snowman is made out of, yeah, the lights are shown inside of the bottle, and like the scarf of the snowman is made from the green bottles, and the bottle of the snowman is made from clear bottles with white lights inside. The tree is made of all green bottles, and it's gorgeous. I'm going to try and, if I remember, to link some pictures on our Instagram so that if people want to see it. It's so cool looking. It's just amazing. And to think, I mean, it's an amazing looking display anyway. And then when you factor in that it's made of empty wine bottles, it's even cooler. So the snowman is made from 2,500 empty wine bottles.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of wine bottles. Well, it's a 26-foot tall snowman, so.
That's probably four white women that they asked to get the bottles.
Maybe. Maybe. Other cool thing about this is the pub collects donations that they raise for a local hospice. So... in the past 5 years, the display has raised more than £25,000 or $31,000 US dollars for their local hospice, which is known as the Children's Hospice Southwest. And this year they're hoping to raise over five. Shh, don't tell. He doesn't like people to know.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. this year they're hoping to raise over 5,000 pounds for their charity. So
why doesn't he want people to know? That's
I don't know.
Such a cool thing he does.
I know, but he doesn't want people to know. I mentioned it to one person that knows him, and
he doesn't want people to know.
No, he's Batman. Yep, okay. He's Batman. So.
All right. Good to know.
It's all good. It's all good.
Okay. We'll just leave it at that. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Merry Christmas. And if you're listening to this after Christmas but before New Year's, then Happy New Year's.
Yes. We'll do both. Merry New Year's.
Yeah, there we go. Merry New Year's and happy I don't know, something. Happy holidays. We'll just lump them
Jewish,
all into
happy
one.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy
Kwanzaa. I've had a cocktail. It's fine. I can't speak.
Yes. Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. And goodbye.
Bye. Love you.
Love you too.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.